Welcome back to BLT. We will be in Sydney.
May 18th, we have our first birthday show.
Dude,
and last live show.
I was going to say.
Maybe. Probably.
Probably.
For the moment. A lot of BLT heads in Brisbane begging after the show.
For at least 5 months, it'll be the last show.
One got on their knees.
No, I don't know.
Someone got on their knees?
I think the requests have dropped off a bit, so they need to get a little bit more frequent with it if we want to do it.
In Brisbane, person, I felt harassed by it.
Really?
So please, actually, that was enough.
No. How about in person, demanded a lot more of Luke? Don't demand it too much of Blake because he doesn't have much pull with how things work here anyway.
No,
and
I don't have any admin.
Don't demand it with me whatsoever unless it's in my DMs. DM me about it, but don't say anything to me about it in person. If you do, there will be violence.
Anyway.
Emotional violence, not physical violence.
Get your tickets at
LukeKitchell.com
or BlakePavey.com or BlakeFaceSucks.com.
I think I've lost the domain for that, so maybe try that. It doesn't work.
Who the fuck took that domain?
No, like I just lost it. I don't think someone took it. I think I just lost it.
Oh, you just stopped paying for it. You just didn't renew it.
Yeah. I might have. I think hopefully I got the yearly. Maybe just give it a go. And if not, go to LukeKitchell.com. Anyway, here's the episode.
Blank Face does suck. Yeah. I'm coming. I've just announced a Canadian tour.
Ooh,
get your tickets to that. There's not many tickets left to some of them. Coming to Ottawa, Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg, Toronto, and Vancouver.
Ooh,
and then the UK. So many shows in England.
Well, go list them off like you did for Canada.
List
them all off like you did for Canada.
No, I don't know them all. There's some places I don't even know where that is.
You silly boy.
But anyway, London, Manchester, Sheffield.
Portsmouth.
Portsmouth, Swansea is in Wales and Cardiff and Scotland as well, Edinburgh, Glasgow. I'm coming to Germany. I'm coming to the Netherlands.
Shit? You know you're going to Bristol, Oxford, London, Reading, Portsmouth, Brighton, Crawley, Swansea, Cardiff, Worcester, Birmingham, Liverpool, Leeds, Manchester, Nottingham, Leicester, Cambridge, Norwich, Leicester. Southend, Sheffield, Carlisle, Glasgow, Edinburgh, Newcastle, Belfast, Brussels, Amsterdam, Rotterdam, Amsterdam again, Copenhagen, Dublin, Brussels, Barcelona, and Cologne, and Berlin.
Dude, don't read them all like that. It makes me stressed about how shit the next 3 months of my life is going to be.
You didn't even know that?
I might plug my shit at the start of the next episode because I feel like they've skipped this section of the podcast.
Nah, keep going.
Okay, well, I just finished in Darwin. Thanks for everybody that came out to that one. I've got Warrnambool, Adelaide, Mount Gambier, Shepparton, Geelong, Bendigo, Mildura, and then Manchester and London coming up.
So he's also coming to London.
I'm coming to London, mate. Oh, you better get your bloody tickets at BlakeBaby.com. I'll see you there, you bloody geezers.
May 9, Blankface, Old Bar. See you there, Melbourne. Love you guys so much.
BLT. Like the sandwich.
Yeah. It's a bit like that, isn't it? Good. That's a good sound.
Nothing like cracking a cold one with the homies, hey?
Yeah. What are you consuming there?
Just a cold one with the homies.
What is like a cold? Is it an energy drink of sorts?
No,
or
doesn't
liquid, a vitamin beverage?
No. It doesn't matter. It's a cold one.
It's healthy though because it is sugar free.
Yeah. Okay. That means it's a maximum health.
Yep.
How many is it?
What?
How many have I got?
One.
Yep. And where did I just get it from?
The fridge.
Yeah. So what is it?
The cold one.
It's a fucking cold one. I've cracked it with the boys.
Yeah, but what is it? I've never seen that can.
No, so it's a Red Bull. It's a Red Bull apricot, sugar-free Red Bull.
Ooh.
Actually, a very delicious flavor.
That's why you didn't want to say
it. No, I didn't want to say it at all.
Apricot's a weird flavor to put in an energy drink.
No. Oh, you know what else? Didn't hit record on the camera. But let's keep going. Keep going. This is good.
Bulls aren't red.
Yeah, it should be Brown Bull.
Brown Bull would be a better name for the company. And they just... Anyway,
maybe why does it give you wings? Because it's going to kill you?
No, I think there's so many chemicals in the Red Bull that you sprout literal wings.
You become like the cunt from X-Men. Like X-Men 3 where he's trying to literally scrub the wings from his back and he's bleeding.
It changes your genetic makeup and you turn into like a bird of prey if you drink too many Red Bulls.
Mm.
Tyler's like four beverages away from becoming a falcon.
I would love that.
All right, have you fixed the camera?
Yeah, camera's fixed. I'm back. What did I miss, guys? What are we talking about?
Oh, we were just talking about why Red Bull gives you wings.
Oh!
You missed some good chat.
fuck. Anyway, what have you guys been up to?
Are you bleeding?
Oh, did I? I popped a pimple on my forehead before.
It's a bit red.
It was so white. But I thought if I pop it now, it's probably going to bleed on the pod.
Mm.
I don't want to be bleeding on the pod.
Well, that's right. I'm bleeding too. It's my time of the month.
I keep bleeding. Remember that
blood.
Song?
Yep.
Yeah.
How are you bleeding, Blake?
Out my asshole.
Oh.
Still need to get that checked.
So his hemorrhoids didn't clear up?
No. No. Didn't want to pop them on the pod either. I thought that'd be a bit gross. So
I don't know. The time Blake popped a hemorrhoid on the pod.
Yeah.
I'd listen. Wouldn't watch.
I'd have
definitely an audio vibe.
Oh, it's covered Luke in pus and blood.
I did my marathon.
Man, feels good to be back. For that very reason, Luke sent a message in our chat and said, I'm uploading a dossier to Instagram.
I did a little text TED talk.
Yeah, a play-by-play. He did a play-by-play and he said, do not look at this, boys. I'm saving this for the pod. So for the better part of a week and a half, I've been on the edge of my hand waiting to hear what happened.
For new listeners, we sit on hand chairs for absolutely no reason because we've never even used a clip from any of the podcasts we've recorded.
I think we've done like
chairs.
8 episodes in the hands at this point and we haven't used a single clip from it.
Maybe being comfortable on a podcast really does help the quality of it.
Yeah.
Well,
I hate this chair so much. Yeah.
I love mine. Mine's comfy as hell.
Petition to get rid of the hand chairs.
Nope.
Unless we can find a comfier one.
If we get 2 out of 3 signatures, we have to remove them. I'll sign.
I will not be signing.
I'll maybe sign at the end of the episode. See how my back's feeling.
I'll win you back,
Blakey. The people in the suits out there are so angry at me because I was really pushing the hand chairs and they all said it was a stupid idea. And then as soon as I sat in them, I was like, guys, you were right. This is terrible.
No, I don't know. You guys are just fucking weak. My hand chair's comfy
You've
as hell.
You've got a nice
boy.
One.
Yeah. Yeah, mine's real nice.
I got the $20 one from Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
Mine's doing an okay.
Yeah, because yours is doing the okay, so it gives you like a better hand rest as well.
Yeah. So my mic hand is free and limber. But my other hand is resting at all times on the thumb and finger. Anyway, yeah, I've been on the edge of my hand waiting to hear how your marathon went, man. By all accounts, what I'm assuming is you're still with us.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how do you think it went?
Well, again, did you win?
No, I didn't win.
Oh, okay, well.
Didn't go that well then.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so you didn't win, which means you clearly didn't fucking lax up. So that's all I, you know.
I tell you what, I heard a few stories from afterwards. There was a few lads who were up there with the winners who I think did lax up.
Really?
And used several trees along the route.
And they were still up there with the winners?
Yeah, because...
Oh, that's okay. Full stop.
Yeah.
But Story's over.
Like, because would you like the play-by-play?
Yeah, give it to
us like
from the top.
The bullet points at the top?
No.
Give us a play-by-play.
I want you to take us on a journey. I want to feel like I was there running it with you.
Okay, so it starts the day before. I feel, as we all know from the last update in this podcast, my preparation wasn't great the couple of weeks before.
No. A
lot of beers during Comedy Festival, and then I got sick.
So physically, you weren't exactly warmed up?
No.
No, okay.
And then on the way there the day before, I went to visit my grandma, and there was... questions in the car of should we be visiting grandma, like is this safe, because I was like coughing and sneezing and and like it was kind of got to that point where I was like, are you gonna kill your grandma?
So both of you were at health risk of each other.
Who?
Basically you and your grandma. You were sick, you could have killed your grandma, but then at the same time you probably should have been doing anything else to prepare for the marathon the next day.
It was deemed fine to go see grandma.
Jeez. By who?
I was already in the car.
Okay.
Okay. So you had no choice. Who drove?
Meg was driving.
Okay.
I passed out asleep on the way. She lives in like a country town in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Passed out couldn't even stay conscious for that car ride. Got there, actually felt all right when I got there. And then, you know, spent a couple of hours with grandma, had lunch. And then we went over to Ballarat, which is where the marathon was taking place the morning after. And as soon as I get there, I enter like a world of hurt. I'm like,
what do you mean?
We go straight to the chemist, and Meg was just like, my boyfriend's running a marathon tomorrow. He's really sick. What can I get to help him? And the person laughed out loud. She's like, I got laughed at the chemist.
Wait, so what was happening? It was just like a flu sick?
Yeah, like what are these things that they're like these?
Oh, the sinus
yeah.
flusher.
Oh, yeah.
And because my nose was so blocked, and that really, really? Worked. They put like a saline solution.
How good are they?
Yeah, saline solution.
Put like the warm, salty water in there. Mm-hmm. Oh,
that shit goes hard.
Feels
good.
So good. Yeah.
I did that a few times for the race. Ended up getting to bed at about 11 p.m. to
okay,
midnight, but I had to get up at 5 because then, my shit problem, I set my alarm so I had 3 hours to get my body moving.
So the marathon started at 8 a.m.
So I needed that 3 hour period so I could shit.
Yep. And again, just to go over the finer details, you don't drink coffee.
You wouldn't do that before a marathon.
Okay. But you in general.
I don't think you've ever exercised before.
In general, you do. Caffeine's good pre-exercise.
To take a shit.
I'm talking for your shit, man.
Yeah,
but I just don't think like you've clearly never like done an endurance exercise. Oh. You definitely wouldn't coffee it before the marathon. I don't think anyone's doing that.
Don't think I've done any endurance sports. I fucking played a Call of Duty game the night of release. Okay. So I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
You can take
about.
Bathroom breaks during that.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
Yeah,
oh, you clearly have never done an endurance sport, eh?
Real soldiers wear a nappy.
Exactly. That's right. Exactly. No, so what I was trying to say was in the morning, it's not like you're getting up and taking something that'll lubricate your digestive tract anyway.
Meg suggested a cup of warm water and it weirdly helped.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah. That's,
yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it was just, it's nature's lubricant.
It is. Yeah, it is. Because it would go straight. Yeah, okay. I can
I think it just warm. I don't know why. It gets your digestive system.
Well, if you think about it, like a hot water going down your esophagus and into all your bits and blobs, you can imagine it picking up a few things along the way. You know what I mean?
So I go shower, blow out the sinuses. I have 3 attempts at shitting in the morning. Mm-hmm. One successful, one mildly successful, one not successful.
No.
Right?
Okay, yep.
I'm feeling okay.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good stats.
I have my feet taped up. I'm ready to go. And again, my biggest concern leading into this was my digestive situation.
Yeah, of course.
I wasn't even concerned about the run. And that was where, in hindsight, I went wrong, was I forgot about the 42 kilometers.
Mm. You forgot you forgot about the entire thing?
Like I was so confident in my body that I was just like, yeah, the only thing that could do me undone here is if I shit myself. Turns out it really hurts your legs running 42 kilometers and I hadn't even considered that for a second.
Nah.
Yeah. Wait, can I just backpedal for a little bit?
Yeah.
Just done some research. So you got up at 5 a.m. What time was the race?
8.
So that gives you a 3 hour window.
Yeah.
Saline laxatives usually produce results within 30 minutes to 3 hours following your dose. When a larger dose is taken on an empty stomach, the results are quicker.
I just don't think I want to be running the risk of on the start line.
It's like 2 hours 59. Yeah. You're like, oh, this
and
is
then it
fucked.
Kicks in.
No, maybe it could give you a little fucking boost, man.
Imagine it's like Mario Kart when you time the button press.
Yeah,
you just go.
It's Vin Diesel when he hits the NOS. Yeah. I did have a quick, so it hits 7:52 and I'm on the start line. I go, nah, I'm going to go pee. I don't want to need a pee. So I was like, I'm going to go pee.
Yeah.
I run to go to the toilet and randomly I run past Dean's girlfriend who I'm running with, right?
Oh, it was
Visa. And I just, she's like, Luke, she's like, why are you on the start line? Like everyone's about to start. And I freak out. It gets to 7:55 and I'm just finished up peeing and I'm running back and the gun goes off. And I'm
7:55?
Like, what the hell? Shit, have I missed a start? No, it's the wheelchair starters.
Oh.
And I start having a panic attack. I'm like, I've missed the start. I've come all the way to Ballarat. And I'm
No.
I was like, that's fine. I got time. And Dean was
how many different starting guns are there?
Well, they start 5 minutes before because the wheelchair people go way faster.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw him flying past me. I was like, look, I know you're not supposed like, maybe I shouldn't say it.
No, please do.
You can do it.
I had the thought and I think we've all thought it.
What?
I was like, well, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, these motherfuckers have a handicap.
Yeah.
In the race, that
is. Yeah, in the race.
In the race.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was running up a hill and then they were coming back down the hill and I was they're not even...
Dude, they're catching
they're not
momentum.
Even
no, bro's riding the slipstream of the one in
this
front
one
of him.
There's one guy having a drink as he was going down the hill.
Dude, what's going on here?
But I could not imagine how much their arms would be burning at the end of
that. 100%. Yeah, 100%. Dude, the biceps on those guys? Fuck, they look good. Shit.
Anyway, so Dean, so there's pace markers, right? Dean and I, who I was running with, he was quite fit, and he was like, we'll meet at the 3 hour 20 pace marker. That's the time we were going for.
Yeah.
And there's like, people have like backpacks with like a flag on it that says 3 hour 20, and they scatter throughout. So you can run with a pacer and really? They run whatever pace you need to get together time the whole way. That's their job.
Dude, that's crazy.
So it was, and also just a good way to find people on the start line, because there's like 1,000 people.
Wow.
So yeah, you're right. Like, I'm pushing through, and then I go, all right, Dean said he'd meet me there, and we have no phones on us because we don't run with phones. There's like no other way to communicate.
So wait, you didn't run with phones. Do you have tunes?
No tunes.
Oh, what?
How long was the marathon?
For like 42. What do you like? Well, no, I don't want to say the time I did yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Oh, so, okay. What was the quickest?
We were going for 3 hours 20.
All up.
That was our
aim
time.
That's not right. Two. That's not three. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Damn. Okay.
In training, absolutely by yourself, I never would run without headphones. Yeah, we were running together and like.
I guess so. Wait, was other people have music though?
Other people were running.
Oh, so it was a conscious decision for you guys.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
No, I was going to say, fight that is so boring.
They recommend against it because I think they legally have to in case something goes wrong.
In case
it's a closed off course. You can't get hit by a car or anything.
They recommend against it in case you're listening to the BLT podcast and you just fucking shit your pants from laughing. Sorry, carry on.
I lose Dean on the start line. He's not where we said we'd meet.
Oh.
And the gun goes off and he's nowhere to be seen. So I run the first kilometer, and the first kilometer I'm just kind of like looking around, trying to find him. I'm like, we said we'd meet here. This is so weird he's not here.
Yeah.
And there's like hundreds of people around me. I met a BLT head.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
Someone took a photo of it. During the race, I met a couple of BLT heads.
That's awesome.
There's people screaming BLT at me as
Dude,
I was running
really?
Along.
That's fucking hype.
Someone was like, oi, it's the owl.
Dude, that's excellent.
That keeps you going.
Yep.
2 kilometers in, I found Dean. I dropped back a bit and realized he's probably behind me because I was doing that really rude thing. I was like just squishing past people like, hey, sorry, excuse me. It was really rude. But I was like, I bet Dean didn't
do
that.
Is that against, that's against etiquette of the marathon, is it?
I guess it's just etiquette against people in life.
Pushing past them.
Yeah,
no, if you've got somewhere to be,
yeah,
it's a
you
race.
Got time to fucking hit.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think you're fine.
The wheelchairs were going, fucking get out of my fucking way.
Unlimited Tokyo.
Could you?
Because they're drifting.
Is it marathon etiquette to dink?
Like to ask if you can go on the back? Yeah. Are you going to skateboard like Marty McFly? That'd be good. I would have got a way better time if I hadn't done that.
Yeah,
that
you're only allowed to do that on double XP events, so.
That's the power of love. Carry on.
We get to 3 kilometers into the race. I have my first hiccup. I go for my first drink of water, which was on a gravel slightly off the road. I went for a drink, and these new shoes I got, they're like mesh. Like that, but they're like, so it's just like mesh to socks. So a tiny little rock
got in.
And that's like, I think I have OCD or like slightly on the spectrum or something because I hate that shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know me, I stop in the street and take my shoe off. Like I'll be in a Coles and if I get something in my shoe, I'll just tip it out and then. Yeah. Everyone else around me was like, what are you taking your shoes off for? I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I don't want to walk with a rock
in
my shoe.
That's fair. But in a marathon setting though, you got to race. You got to be running. You got to be moving.
So I flag it with Dan. He's like, are we stopping? I'm like, no, we're not stopping. I was like, I reckon it will move, jiggle around and get to like hopefully a point. You know, sometimes it gets to a point where it's like under the sole or it's just not going to bother you
anymore. Or it's between the toe or something. You barely even notice it.
Yeah.
And I knew on the scale of future problems, it wasn't even worth. I was like, this is not going to be a problem in 20 kilometers
time. It's a pebble, not a mountain.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I just stayed the rock. By like 6K, it jiggles into a nice pocket in my shoe where it's not too noticeable.
Yeah.
Man, the rest of the time, there was a few little problems earlier that in hindsight, I was like, oh, no one like around us is laughing and talking and having fun.
But they're all focused.
Like they're all focused. And me and Dean are like making jokes. We're yelling at people.
You were yelling at people?
No, just like, you know, some guy like, some people run in funny costumes and we're doing bits and we're high-fiving kids with like their arms out.
Right.
Yep. People like have this, people have like funny signs like that some guy's just standing on his front lawn just with a sign saying, I woke up early to hold this sign.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not
funny.
Even encouraging. It's just,
that's
just
pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're giving people on the sidelines like almost love back.
Yeah.
They're showing us love. They're showing all the runners love. We're giving love back. But other people just locked in and we're like, oh, no, it's fucking hell. It's a bit of fun, mate. I'm not, not trying to break a world record here.
Yeah.
Turns out these people have done a marathon before.
They knew what was coming.
Because usually, like, I've got up to 35 kilometers in my training. Usually, I'll hit a wall about 30 kilometers.
And you got to push through the next 12.
We get to halfway 21, where we go through at 136, which is means we're on pace for like 3 hours 12.
That's pretty good.
A little below what we're going
for. Okay, yeah.
And the guy who's on commentary, he's an old running friend of Dean and ours.
Oh, really?
So he knows I'm a comedian.
Oh.
He's like on the speaker at the event. Oh. So he's like going, oh, coming through. Oh, we have Australian comedian Luke Kidgell, fresh off the comedy festival. Blah, blah, blah. He does a little spill. It's a bit of fun.
Fuck.
All of a sudden, it's like people have heard that on the course, the second lap, all of a sudden everyone is looking out for me or something like that. Because the vibe changed in the second lap after that.
No. Wait, so it's laps?
Yeah, we did 2 laps of a 21.
Oh, okay. So it's not like a big shit. Okay, yep.
And then, you know, funny, even mum and dad were there. We're like, you know, giving them a thumbs up. And then I saw my brother and Meg about 22 kilometers in and they're just looking at us and I just yell, the vibe has changed. And I feel like shit.
And they so you feel like shit as in sick again?
I just feel like I'm tired. And I don't know if I should say this, but I have a suspicion. I never tested.
Yep.
Everyone around me at the comedy festival got COVID from that after party.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure I had COVID.
Oh.
I had all this.
I'm pretty, yeah.
Did you have it? Did you test?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No, who did? Nobody did.
No.
No, yeah.
But anyway, a few people around me after the event, by the way, at the time I didn't know, after the event told me, I had COVID that week. And I went, no, and I was with you 3 days before that.
Yeah, okay. So I wouldn't even think if I got sick to test for COVID now.
Neither did I.
No, I wouldn't even
think. I just thought it was a bit run down from the comedy festival because it kind of happens every year to me after the comedy festival.
Yeah.
So you get up for your second lap, you're halfway through and you feel deathly ill, probably with COVID. And like you've got Dwayne Johnson in your shoe. Yeah,
turns out The Rock was not the final boss.
No. Not at all.
and I start to get like cold shakes, like a fever. My arms go, I'm like to Dean. I'm running next to him. He's fine. Like Dean is feeling, he's so fit.
Yeah.
My friend Dean.
He is. Yeah. He's a real lean
and
good looking.
I'm like, feel my arms. He's like, oh, fuck. Yeah.
Sorry. I was having a moment. Carry on.
He's like, I'm like, feel my arms. He's like, dude, your hands are so cold. And then we hit like 28K in, my vision just starts to go blurry. Like I can't see anything. And I lose my footing and I almost run into a lady on the side. And Tim's like, you okay? And I was like, no, I'm not. And it was the first time I flailed. It was the first time I thought, I don't think I can do this.
No, mate.
Jesus.
You've gone from Elton John to Stevie Wonder. That's never a good move.
But then, and I know you, Luke, you would have been like in that moment, the vision went all blurry. You're just like, fuck, what would Jared do? And you kept running.
No, I was like, what would Blake do at the Exford? Keep going.
He wouldn't stop.
Until someone kicks him out of the race.
He wouldn't be home now.
Until you vomited a cubicle.
Yeah, that was the only.
What would Blake do? Go non-verbal and just keep doing what he was doing anyway.
I was like, this is not the first time I've been blind in the last month. I can do it now. I can do it now, right? So I kept running. Get to the next water stop and I just go to Dean like, I think I need to stop and walk. Like it was getting unbearable. So I stopped to walk and I in that moment, I genuinely felt really ashamed of myself.
Oh, really?
Oh, like I was, it's taken me like a week to like, to laugh about this.
Yeah. Did it fill you up?
What?
That shame inside you. May 9, blank face this week, guys. Tomorrow for you guys in Melbourne,
mate,
blank face with the
Olma. The shame was so deep inside you, you should put your head in a fucking hole. May 9th at the old bar. We'll see you there.
Something, something evil I penned it. Anyway, so May 9th. Sorry, carry on.
Dude, my face was so blank because I was in an emotional hole. And my main thing that I felt bad about is I felt bad because Dean had to run a few marathons but had never run one at a pace that he could probably do it at, which is the pace we were going for.
Oh.
And he was still feeling good. And I was like, you go. Like, I'm fucked, dude. And he's like, no, I'll stay.
No.
So he just stayed the whole time.
With you.
And I started like walking, running. I was stretching against poles. And then it started to like rapidly decline really quick. It went from running, walking to like I could barely run. And then I was like maybe hit 32 or 34K around the lake and I'm like stopping, cramping at poles and all these people start going past us and man, like by the end I'm getting passed by like 80-year-old dudes, you know, like the shufflers, the guys that just,
the power walkers.
They're doing their 60th marathon and they're like,
yeah.
Down good, mate.
Yeah.
Down good.
Yeah, that was it. And it got so bad where what I realized was because of my illness, I was completely dehydrated. And there was, by the end, there was no amount of like, so I was going through the drink stops early, just having a little sip of water. And by the end, I was doing two waters and one electrolyte. So like three cups per stop.
Shit.
And mixed with lollies and like the gels. I was having so much stuff and I felt like it wasn't enough. Yep. And I couldn't eat the snakes or the gels because my mouth was cramping up.
Really?
What the fuck?
Because
was it cold or was it just your body or your muscles?
I lost control of my body. I couldn't move. And then there was, Dean said afterwards, he goes, I didn't want to tell you this at the time, but I was running behind you for a bit. And he goes, your muscles were like quivering and twitching and sucking in and like moving out and doing things I've never seen legs do before. Oh. And he's like, I didn't want to say anything to you during the race because he's like, it really freaked me.
Bro, you were possessed, bro. Where were you, Ballarat?
Fucking alien pops out of his chest.
Dude, the ghosts of the fucking Ballarat jail were trying to get out through your physical conduit.
Dude, what was so funny was it was kind of scary. I'll be honest, had a slight panic attack.
During the
race. Like I was freaking out. I was like, I've never lost control of my body like that before.
Yeah.
And Dean was like, maybe we should pull out. And I was like, no. Like,
how long is left to go?
Like 8 kilometers, like so far, like a quarter of the race.
Nah, yeah, you can't
stop
there.
That's ages.
But it's so far. I've come so far.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of
it? It is ages, but it's like, why you've come all the way.
In the context of the race. And then I'm like, so I start stretching and then I start, all right, I'll walk for 100 meters, run for 100 meters, walk, but it's not run. And then in hindsight, I kind of, this was all a blur at this point. Dean afterwards was like, man, the strategies that you were suggesting to like, beat your cramps and stuff is like, we're insane. Like, it was one point where I was like, what about if I try sprinting? I haven't tried sprinting. And then I tried sprinting and my leg just went bang like a gun. And I was like, I remember just one point being like, oh. And then this old guy just went, fucking hell, mate, you're right.
That's like someone with like going through extreme.
It was so embarrassing, man.
It's like someone going through extreme like meth withdrawals being like, fuck, pretty sick from this meth withdrawal. Can I try some meth maybe? Might make the withdrawals feel pretty good. Yeah.
So this lady at the side of the road, and you should never ever accept gummies from strangers in Ballarat.
Yeah.
This lady just handed me a bag of gummies. She's like, you need this.
Yeah.
And I was just walking along eating gummy bears. Like then eventually Dean's dad overtook us, Spears, who was also in the race.
Oh, but Spears is a unit. That's not saying much.
He's going pretty quick. Yep. He passes us and I go, Dean, like just finish off with your dad. Eventually Dean like runs with his dad.
Good. Yeah,
and
good.
I'm by myself like the maybe last 5 or 6K. And yeah, I started shuffling along. I figured out that if you run with straight legs, I wouldn't cramp as much. So I was like running like when you run, like when you've shit yourself.
Like, yeah.
Doing like the Kath and Kim like power.
Kind of, but more just like cheeks kind of apart, but stiff, straight legs. Like I've. Like I'm clapping my cheeks with poo kind of. And it gets to the end when like we hit the crowd, like, cause you know, within the last 2 kilometers, there's like a lot of people watching the race and cheering people on towards the end.
Yeah.
It's just like people are just going, fucking hell, kids, oh, Jesus, fuck.
Like, there's a girl up the back like, what are you bloody doing here, little kid?
I start getting like heckled from the side. Like I clearly look so bad. And you know when you could tell I look bad cause there was a few people where maybe 10 people before me would run past. And people on the side were just clearly waiting for their family member or whoever they were there to cheer on.
And they start cheering.
And
for
they
you.
See me and they go, God, going well, mate. You're almost there. And I just go, oh, I must look so shit if they've not cheered on the other people, but like, this guy needs it.
Yeah, he needs that last push. Oh, wait, can I pull up your post so I can get some visual read-alongs?
And then, so I hit. About a kilometer ago, I'm shuffling. At this point, I know I'm going to finish it, but it's so grim. I eventually make it. My friend's back on the commentary, right?
Yep.
This is the worst part of the whole thing.
Can I just stop you there for 2 seconds? I don't know what my brain has just done to me. I go, you go, we're going to check his Instagram. I go to Instagram. I go to the search thing, and I just start looking up Cody Rhodes' name for some reason. For some reason, I just went, oh, this isn't Luke. What the fuck?
Dude, Dean's running with his name tag. It says, you're running with Kidgel on yours and he's running with Luke's number one fan.
Yeah, I didn't know you could customize the name tag.
Dude.
So, right, I'm going through the – scroll to the last slide.
Okay.
This is where I started walking. That's the last 2 kilometers. And, right, that second last slide is me going through the finish line because my mate from running is on the thingo.
Yeah.
And this is what rings out to like, there's like 1,000 people watching on the start line.
Yeah.
Right. And he just goes, and here comes Australian comedian Luke Kidgell to the finish line. He goes, oh, there's absolutely no comedy in this. That man is in the pain cave. Jesus Christ. And there's like thousands of people watching.
Why? What?
And I'm just being roasted.
Why
over
the, beat a man when he's down?
That's fucked up. I was like,
oh my God.
I don't think I've ever been in more pain in my entire life. And then it like,
oh my God.
I'll be
God.
Honest, it made me laugh. I was running through, just like hobbling to the end, dying laughing because I was like, this is the most humiliating experience of my entire life.
Oh yeah, that God. Is a man in pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just, it was genuinely quite humiliating because I talked up a big game beforehand
yep.
and I'm like posting yep. my runs in this chat of like, and everyone's like, wow, Luke's running really good times. And then I just fell apart. I finished in 3:53, so I still got sub 4 hours.
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah, but everyone's commenting like, dude, that's still an amazing time. I'm like, fucking hell, how pathetic is the general public?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
I walked, dude, at one point I did a 10-minute 30-kilometer.
What's your?
We just walked down the street and we did a 7:30 on the way to lunch. At one point during the race, it took me 10 minutes and 30 seconds
so what was your,
to go 1,000 meters.
What was your hour, what was your rate when you did the marathon? Of like your hour, what was your hourly average? Did you track it?
Yeah, like I think my kilometer average by then was like 5:40 something. But like we were on track for like 3:15 or
okay.
So I was, that's the thing. It took me an extra 40 or, you know, minutes than what I probably should have taken to do it.
Okay. That's pretty good, man. That's pretty good.
It was 40 minutes of stretching against poles and sooking.
That's like an extra minute per kilometer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Over the course of the thing. But I reckon it took me about 1:20 to do the last 10K.
Oh,
which
okay.
is like
so really
wild.
Just, yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like
fuck,
I couldn't move forward. There was one point where I was like, oh, I don't think I can keep moving forward because I couldn't walk.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And my, you know, when like, I don't know, it's never happened to me before. I couldn't describe it. My legs were buckling under me.
You physically, the muscle just wasn't holding right. up. No, it's probably because you were sick.
You know when you see the videos of the people's like legs, you know, caving in and they look like a baby giraffe that just started walking?
Yeah, it's convulsing and
it's
shit.
It's how I felt. I always looked at that. I've been like, how does your body get like that? And I was like, oh, it's happening.
Yeah. Oh. Here's what okay. I want to just say, firstly, mate, you should be very proud of yourself. You did well. Blake and I were very proud of you. You did good. The second thing I want to say is that was Rocky 2. There has to be a Rocky 3.
I was going to say, I can't let that be the only attempt.
No. No.
I need a redemption arc for myself.
Exactly. Mm. There needs to be a Rocky 3.
Yeah.
And
what happens? Which one's the Rocky where he fights Dragunov?
That's the fourth one where Apollo Creed dies.
Okay, well, let's not get to that part of the
series. I was talking more Rocky 3 when Rocky goes up against Mr. T, loses.
I've seen that one.
Yeah, loses, and then Apollo Creed comes and trains him again, and he redeems himself.
Yeah.
And he wins it right at the end because Apollo, he joined forces.
And
so you know what this, you know what I want to say here? You know where this is going?
Yeah.
The marathon is Mr. T, you're Rocky, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apollo Creed is the laxatives. You need to lax up. You need to stop resisting. You need to get the laxatives to push you over the line.
By the way, I had no digestive issues throughout the race. I was shocked.
Okay, well.
I can tell you some uncomfortable details about... So I did take a pee during the race.
You did pee? Oh, yeah. Well, okay. It was... Well, yeah, what did you say? You nearly
40 seconds. And, dude, it was about 16 kilometers in. And me and Dan are talking about it. We're like, oh, should I go pee? Blah, blah. And this old bloke, and he's like, you know he's been around the block a couple times.
Yeah.
He just went, mate, just fucking do it now. Trust me.
Oh, see, there you go. That's your Mickey. That's your Mickey.
Yeah.
Mickey. You're going to piss on a tree and shit thunder.
I ran into the toilet. I'm trying to go as quick as possible. I finish up. And as I'm leaving, this guy's running. The door swings open. And all I can see is a grown man with his pants already to his knees, hauling ass for the cubicle. His ass cheeks were out. I saw everything, right?
Oh my God.
Already squatting. And I think shit was already coming out of him like before he hit the cubicle.
Oh.
And I was like, dude, it's only 16 kilometers in. You've got a long way to go.
That's fucked up.
There was people's Strava's that like I saw afterwards where they were like, oh, I had a great time with the Ballarat Marathon. I had to shit at the 13-kilometre mark, then again at 16, and then again behind a tree at the 18-kilometre mark. Sorry to anyone who saw that. Other than that, great race. And I'm like,
Jesus,
who are these
Who's
people?
Who's admitting to that?
Yeah, that's you couldn't pry that out
I
of me.
I think in the running community, it's just, it's like breathing.
It's just like has to be
it's
done.
It's become this normal thing where I'm like, I realized during the race, I was like, well, I don't care about anything that much.
No, shitting is just a part of life for these
Not
folk.
During the day. There's like kids in this park.
Yeah, that's weird.
What are you
running around
with?
The lake? And dude, I don't think they're wiping because I looked at his splits and I looked at the splits when he shat and I was like, yeah, he's not. That's there was like maybe 40 seconds off when he did the shits. And I was like, yeah, that's not enough time to
so
wipe.
So how do you run 20Ks with like a shitty asshole? Because that would like hurt.
Imagine the chafe.
Weird. The chafe would be crazy. That's what I'm thinking about. Yeah, dude,
I don't know, man. I'm not this deep into this community.
Yeah.
It did feel like I was the most relaxed person there at the start.
That's interesting. I'd like to do further research. Like, leave it with me.
You know, I was very much doing it for a personal thing because these people were like psychos. And then I think at the end I realized I was like, oh, I didn't treat this with the respect it deserved. Like, this is a very hard thing to do, finish a marathon. Yeah. No, I think I was like, ugh. I'm naturally fit. I could do that.
No.
But if you're running like 30 kilometers, like normally, like you were, I reckon if you just weren't sick, it would have been fine.
I agree. The sickness probably didn't help, but at the end of the day.
So you would consider doing another?
I'm probably going to do another one next year, but I just think need to choose one with a longer run in because I had a 4-month run in. I decided on a winery tour on January 2nd. That I was going to do this.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what
you're
saying.
Maybe I need to decide again on a winery tour.
But make it the Christmas party or something.
Yeah. A week.
Yeah, a week out.
An extra week.
An extra week will do. That's fucking crazy.
Well, I might enter the Melbourne one next year. I think it's like ballot now. That's how popular it is. You're on a ballot to enter.
You can't just sign up and do it?
Yeah, because there's only so many people you can like
What do they do? They draw names out of the hat.
Is that the one where it finishes at the G or something?
Yeah, it's a cool one. It's quite hard, I think, that one, because it's like a hill up at the end. Anyway.
How do they pick who does it?
I don't know. I think it's just random. That's what a ballot is.
That sucks. What if you just get
it's like a lottery.
Mostly just people who don't run marathons and it's just a shit time.
Well, you can get a qualifying time, but I'm not quick enough for that.
Oh.
Dude, they went around 2:17. Do you know? They're not running
what the fuck?
Fart past us. Yeah, the world record's like 2:01.
That's like 80 minutes. That's like an hour and that's like less than an hour and a half.
What?
2:17.
What?
Yeah, but what?
42. Well, it's 42Ks, isn't it?
No, sorry. They ran 2 hours, 17 minutes.
Oh,
The world record is 2 hours, 1 minute.
I was
going to
say, holy fuck, 2 minutes and 17 per kilometer. Jesus Christ.
Someone's beat the 2-hour mark once, but it was under like weird conditions where they had like a laser and a truck.
A laser and a truck?
It was like they were trying to beat the world record to see if a human could do it. It wasn't
the laser got to do with it?
Like a laser in front of him pacing.
Oh,
him like,
they were just like, we're going to do some dope shits. So let's just add some dope shit like lasers to it.
You just got the cunt from Townsville with the gloves. Just like,
yeah. Fuck, that's crazy, man.
But yeah, there's so many people. I was like watching them go past me because you turn around. And I realized at one point I was like 4 kilometers into the race. And I was like, wait, they're like already 7 kilometers in.
Mm.
Like, that's crazy.
That is fucking crazy.
Fuck.
Jesus Christ, wow.
But I didn't shit, and that was the main goal.
Good job.
And well, no blisters either.
That's good. Good. So what happened? What was the post-show like?
It felt like being hungover for 2 days because it releases, like Meg was telling me, when your body like, when you fuck your body like that, it releases toxins. Because I was so dehydrated. Oh, I don't want to tell you. There's a few gross things I could tell you that happened afterwards.
Well, come on, hurry up.
Yeah, you can do it.
I did a piss after the race where I thought, it was the consistency of cum, and I thought I'd done a cum. Like, I was so dehydrated that it was looked like yellow cum.
Oh,
man's body
go.
Is just playing tricks with him. He's like, ooh, my fucking pissing not coming.
And I did such a hectic shit in, like, the Porta-loos afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're the flat ones?
Mm. Yeah.
God. Like,
the smell of that would have just been, dude, not of yours specifically, just that
man,
area in general.
The only one, I don't want to be too graphic, but like if your dog did that, you'd take it to the vet.
And you'd put it down.
You'd be like, I'm not paying the bill on this.
And you turn into glue.
Nah, that was too gross. I'm not going to graphically describe one of my poos. But
yeah, that's never happened on this fucking podcast before, has it?
It looked like the emoji, like it did the...
Yeah, the old Macca's soft serve sort of machine type. Dude, that's crazy.
It was fucked. I remember just being like, oh my God, what have I done? Like, this is not healthy. This isn't good for you.
Yeah.
Was that also the texture of cum, or was it...
Honestly, like the pee and the shit were interchangeable.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
And I was getting like people were taking photos and stuff with me. Like even on the way home, I had to stop so many times because my legs kept cramping in the car. So I had to keep getting out the truck stops and just standing. And I was standing at this truck stop just staring at the sky in pain. And this poor girl came up to me and was like, oh, you're the comedian. I was like, yeah. And I was just like, and the dad was like, oh, maybe, come on, we got to go. And she's like, can I get a photo? And the dad's like, oh, he looks pretty busy. And I'm not busy. I'm
pretty
just like.
Fucking dying.
I think I just
standing outside a fucking pie face wanting to kill yourself.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
But yeah, it was, I couldn't eat afterwards and I couldn't, it was just bad. Because you know when you're hungover, like, your body's like releasing toxins and you reject anything. It was like that for 24 hours and it made me feel really sick.
Sometimes after you
so
do
I couldn't
like
go to the show.
Yeah.
I gave Blake tickets. I was supposed to go see Jim Jefferies that night. Hit like 5 p.m. and I just go, hey Blake, do you want these tickets?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I'm just not fucking doing it.
And that was a fucking marathon within itself. Jesus Christ.
fuck that. That sounds awful. Yeah. Let's take away and jump into something. We'll go from the talking about the consistency of your piss.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, by the way, if anyone was eating. It's just, that's the harsh realities of what I went through.
Do you know what my theory is? I reckon that's why, I always find like people who do that, like I know there were a lot of older people there who were just like, fucking keep going, mate. But I reckon runners, and this is going to sound like the worst logic ever, I reckon doing that is unhealthier than drinking and smoking every day.
running the marathons.
Running multiple marathons. Or I can get one done in your life and that's sick. Maybe if you want to get a time.
Because your body's taking like a physical beating is what you mean?
Yeah.
I don't know drinking and smoking.
Maybe just drinking.
Ultra marathons, I think there's an argument to be made that that's really not good for you.
What's like an ultra?
Like 100K.
Oh, fuck.
Like David Goggins type shit where you just like wake up and like...
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
isn't running on cement really bad for your joints and shit?
Yeah, it didn't feel good afterwards. I was like, this isn't...
Your bones are like crunching on each other and whittling down.
Mm.
Anyway, yeah, to move on from that, but the people don't even know who they're listening to, boys.
Oh, sorry.
Embarrassing.
Fucking hell. Yeah, my name's Blake and I am the... I'm the blank of BLT because I can't fucking think of anything.
Hi, my name's Luke. Fuck, I've already used this one. I'm the Linkin Park of BLT.
Oh, good one.
Great choice.
Because I feel numb after my marathon.
Yeah, okay. My name is Tyler. I am the tic-tac-toe of BLT.
Yeah, good.
Couldn't think of anything else either.
Fun little game, that one.
Yeah. Tic-tac-toe. Yeah. And
is it just noughts and crosses? Is it just another name for noughts and crosses?
Yep. I think so. Okay. Yep. Is it the one you jump along? Tic-tac-toe?
No, it's noughts and crosses.
Is it just noughts and crosses?
What did you say the jump along one?
Yeah, how you do that. Primary school is the thing. Hopscotch. Tic-tac-toe, hopscotch.
Hopscotch, also most pointless fucking game ever.
Yeah, it's not a game, is it?
No.
If you need like a court for that, like the way it's always like
drawn out.
Yeah.
It's like, this is, I don't know.
That also has like crosses and circles and shit drawn in it, doesn't it? Or is it just laid out?
No, you can like add a pebble and you got to skip that one.
Oh, that's fucking hectic. Well, the one thing I do know about hopscotch is that if you were to get walloped in a game of hopscotch, you might develop some animosity towards the person who's walloped you.
Mm.
Now, animosity between people is something that bleeds seamlessly into our next segment.
Very clever.
Well done.
Boys, we touched on this briefly in our exclusive Patreon-only episode of the podcast, but I thought it was time to bring this topic to the mainstream because shit has gotten grim, and that is the beef between rappers Kendrick Lamar and Drake.
Yeah, right.
holy fuck, this has gotten. Blake said today when he walked in, I was like, boy, should we talk about the Kendrick Lamar Blake? I actually said Blake instead of Drake. You're beefing with Kendrick Lamar.
Do you want to start some?
I want to start a beef?
I mean,
Kendrick
it's going
Lamar?
Well Dude, for everyone. No, you just right
do not beef with Kendrick, bro. He's going to pull some secret out about Paul Pavey.
All right, Kendrick, go fuck yourself.
Kendrick gets
any
the
way to
law?
Get fucking dad law out of Paul Pavey. I will welcome it gladly. That motherfucker did crack in Box Hill.
No, it's gotten fucking crazy. Now, like I said, we did touch on this briefly on the bonus episode of the pod. Blake and Luke had no idea. Again, it's a well-known truth that Luke especially is outside the realm of pop culture and especially music, really.
I know that they're beefing. I just hear things about, and I go, I just think these boys are being naughty and I don't want to be a part of it.
These boys are being naughty. So I'm going to do a brief recap because it all comes together in such a beautiful symphony over the last week.
I've not listened to a single track. Not a single track because just my Twitter's just like, they give me the summary. Like, he said this and Drake's come back with this.
It's so funny. They're just debating through poetry.
Yeah.
Yeah, but fucking, oh my God, man, like crazy good poetry. It's so fucking good. This is how it kind of starts. Basically, I'll catch up to speed with Kendrick Lamar. We all know him. He's a massive West Coast rapper.
Yep.
Often he's very commercially successful, very famous, but also critically loved.
Yep.
He's got like four, I guess you could say four or five, but most people would say four albums out in his, you know, 14-year-long career roughly.
Probably the second most critically acclaimed rapper of all time.
If you say behind Macklemore.
Well, after his track he released today. Can you argue it?
Did Macklemore release a track today?
Yeah, he did.
That sucks. Anyway, Kendrick is complimented as one of the most well-loved rappers of the modern era. Drake, on the other hand, massively commercially successful, but a huge goofball. He gets dunked on. He doesn't really have any one album that people would consider that good.
Mm-hmm.
People would say he's got a lot of bangers to his name, but nothing that's like, oh, you got to hear this Drake song. You know what
he's
I mean?
He's the king of the normies.
He is the king of the normies, yes. Like every time.
But not like massive music fans.
No. It's like the people who are like go crazy when Drake releases a single is like Zara.
Great for like NBA halftime music.
Yeah. Safe to put on, you know, that sort of thing. Pretty standard. But basically where it kicks off is Drake releases an album in November of last year called For All The Dogs. There's a song on it with another rapper, J. Cole.
Mm-hmm.
On that song, J. Cole basically says the big three in music are him, Drake, and Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, he's complimenting Drake because he's on a Drake song. He didn't really have to compliment Kendrick at all, but it's just known. It's just known. Everyone just knows Kendrick's the GOAT. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it would be dirty to not throw him a compliment there. Now, months go by. And out of nowhere, another rapper, Future, and a producer, Metro Boomin. This is the brief recap.
Cool.
Mate, this is important because it all comes back into play.
Is Metro Boomin the guy who's like, Metro Boomin wants some more? Well,
yeah. He's got a few, he's a producer, so he makes the beats.
Yeah.
Future's a rapper. They release an album. On that album is a song that has a feature with Kendrick Lamar. And he comes out and basically says, fuck what you guys are talking about. You both suck. I'm the GOAT. J. Cole releases a song and goes, fuck you, Kendrick. Within 24 hours, he's on stage and says, that was corny, I'm sorry, and removes it from streaming. Pretty much just goes, actually, I'm all good. I'm going to tap out of this. This sucks.
Yep.
Drake comes back with a diss track called Push Ups, where he basically just says, Kendrick has small feet and he's short.
That's pretty
which
funny.
Is the gist of what he says. And then another diss track called Tailor-Made Freestyle, which has AI verses from Tupac, who is dead, Snoop Dogg, who is still alive, and Drake himself, where he basically just says, Kendrick, you're a bitch. You haven't responded because you don't want to release a song the same week as Taylor Swift because you want to be friends with her still. That's why you're slacking and not releasing a song yet.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and two audiences that will cross over and diminish their fucking streams.
Yeah, returns. That is where we left off, right, in the last one.
Why does Swifty always get pulled into this garbage?
She's like
back in the day with the Kanye thing. It's like it was nothing to do with her.
Well, she was just a victim of circumstance.
I never thought I'd say this. I feel bad for Taylor Swift.
First time that's ever happened. But yeah, she's a victim of circumstance in that one because Kanye just came on stage and was like, did the Beyonce thing. You know, it could have been anyone in her position. Mm-hmm. Now it's because she's like easily the most successful touring and streaming artist alive. So she's brought in as the comparison.
She just gets
point.
Brought into the conversation.
Yeah, basically, because she released her album that week. Kendrick didn't release anything. But since then, we know it's because this motherfucker, Kendrick, has been in the studio. He's been with, I don't know who he's been with, the FBI. He's been with fucking Nardwuar collecting intel on Drake like nobody believes. And he was setting up an absolute 5D game of chess.
Do you reckon
on Drake.
They hire private investigators?
Possibly, probably, maybe.
Probably have the money to do yeah. so, yeah.
Probably. And there's also a rat, I think, in Drake's team who's feeding information to Kendrick and his people, hot. Which he says in one of the songs.
Be a bit nervous though, wouldn't you?
What?
If you were the Drake's rat.
If you were Drake's rat and it got out that he'd leaked the songs.
Yeah, because I thought it happened to you.
What an embarrassing title. I'm Drake's rat.
Yeah. Watch out. Drake's going to get you.
Ooh. I don't know, man. Maybe we should be asking the chef.
Drake's rat.
Drake's chef.
Ratatouille?
Oh, rat.
Yeah.
The Ratatouille thing?
Yeah, under the hat.
Anyway, so what happened was...
Oh, the marathon to get through that fucking joke was... My legs started fucking just giving
away. That joke was the hardest thing I've done the last 3 weeks. And more humiliating.
Oh my God. That was awesome. Yeah, so basically what left off was Drake going, you haven't responded, you're a bitch. And then Kendrick comes out, he releases a song on streaming like a week and a half later called Euphoria, which references both obviously the feeling of euphoria, but the show, which Drake was a producer on, which was full of underage girls.
Yep. Is that why the show was so horny?
Yeah. Because Drake was a producer.
Because Drake put in his 2 cents.
Yeah, he's pretty much, yes. So he releases this song Euphoria, which is an incredible just song in general. Like,
This is Kendrick.
Kendrick Lamar, yeah, at his peak, right? Now, the other thing is, too, Kendrick is notorious for not really releasing music. He'll release an album, but he doesn't like...
I wish I could be the best comedian of all time. And he's like, he's notorious for not doing comedy. But he's the GOAT.
No, he'll do like I said, he's, you know, he's been around for like 15 years. He's got 4 albums out. They're all beloved. He doesn't really...
Yeah, it's quality over quantity.
Exactly right. But he'll like release an album. He'll go into hiding for like 3 or 4 years. Then he'll come out. He doesn't pop up. He doesn't do interviews much. He doesn't really get involved in this sort of thing. So when he threw the shots on the first song... It was kind of like, whoa, what the fuck? Where did this come from? Like Kendrick doesn't really do this sort of thing. And then when he came back with this track, it was like this guy had like, it was 4 beats that wove into each other. Bro was rapping at light speed. He's just fully exposing Drake. Throwing
did he rap for like 19 minutes straight? Is that what I heard?
Kendrick did?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Apparently there was like one really long one.
No, it wasn't 19 minutes long. That would be crazy.
All right, well, my Twitter's fucking me up.
That's where you get your news from?
Yeah, where are you getting your information from?
It's just like, Drake said this.
Yeah, no, not quite.
He's like, source, 8-year-old's TikTok account.
He pretty much just calls Drake a deadbeat dad for 6 minutes straight, right?
Oh, he's the Rey Mysterio of the rap world.
Yeah. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Too true. So he calls you, he levies all this thing, accusations against him of, you know, being intermingled with underage girls. There's all this sort of race play in it as well, of like him pretty much calling Drake a fake African-American, which is an insane fucking thing to say to someone else, especially someone who's as famous as Drake. But that's pretty much what the track was, right? So everyone's like, fuck, Kendrick's come back and he's fucking nuked him. 12 hours later, Kendrick posts a reel to his Instagram, which has one other post on it. And it was another diss track called 616 in LA. And this song, he pretty much just straight up says to Drake, there's a rat in his camp leaking him information. The cover was a photo of OJ's glove, basically being like, I'm exposing you, this is your trial. Insanity. Also, it was a direct response to Drake's TaylorMade freestyle because the track was produced by Taylor Swift's producer, Jack Antonoff.
Right.
So then Drake responds the next day or 2 days later with a massively produced video clip. The song pretty much just says to Kendrick,
so these guys like sleeping? Like are they just cooking?
I think they're just cooking.
They're just cooking. That's the thing. I think they're just cooking.
They're just getting Uber Eats. They're in the studio. They're like, I'm not fucking leaving. Like,
well, the thing is,
so these happening like 48 hours after the other.
Yeah, Kendrick,
it's just a quick turnaround time.
Yeah. Well, mate, you ready for this? Kendrick, yes. Drake is notorious for having ghostwriters. So he probably has a team of like.
I'm impressed by either.
Any of it. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Just turning around a song and a music video in 48 hours after a diss is.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. So then Drake comes back with this song has a music video, a lyric video. And in this song, Family Matters, Drake pretty much just accuses Kendrick of. One of his sons doesn't belong to him. His wife cheated on him with this with his old label head, this guy called Dave Free. And the other accusation was that Kendrick beats his wife.
Any like evidence to back these claims up?
No, evidence.
It's just clutching at straws.
Pretty much just saying, I know you beat your wife, and it's you're a what's the word? You know what I mean?
An asshole.
Yeah, an asshole.
A shit bloke.
Hypocrite is the word. Yeah. But Drake posts this highly curated music video song. 20 minutes later, Kendrick releases another diss track called...
Wait, 20 minutes later? So he had it ready to go?
Yeah. Oh, he posts another diss track called Meet the Grahams, in which each verse Kendrick addresses and speaks to members of Drake's family, including his son Adonis. Then the second verse, he's talking to his mum and his father. Then the third verse is talking to an alleged hidden daughter of Drake's. And the last verse is to Drake himself.
Hang on. Is this common? Like, back in the day, I don't know too much about rap beefs. When wasn't like a big beef between Eminem and... Oh, I don't want to say it. It was like...
The biggest what people
was it Tupac versus Biggie?
Yeah,
that was pretty big. But
were they dropping track after track on each other, or was it just one random swipe then another?
It was
random
a couple
swipe.
Of like low blows and swipes. The biggest one was Jay-Z and Nas in like the early 2000s. Is one that people often cite as like the biggest feud in hip hop, where there was diss tracks going back and forth. But nothing like this, and nothing.
This feels petty. I love it.
Yeah, this is man.
It's very mature on both of their parts.
Yeah,
you ready for this?
And it's way cooler when it's like, imagine me and you getting to a beef, and then it's just like every Tuesday at the Comics Lounge, just at 8 p.m. We're like, this guy's a fucking loser, isn't he?
Yeah, we're just writing roast jokes and we're like doing little sketches about each other on TikTok.
Yeah. And so in this song, though, there's when Kendrick is addressing Drake's mother and father, here is the direct lyrics. He's talking to his father. He says, "You raised a horrible fucking person, the nerve of you, Dennis. Sandra, sit down. What I'm about to say is heavy. Now listen, your son's a sick man with sick thoughts. I think N-words like him should die.
Damn.
Him and Weinstein should get fucked up in a cell for the rest of their life. He hates black women, hypersexualizes them with kinks of a nympho fetish."
Is this lyrics?
This is lyrics.
It doesn't rhyme, but anyway.
No, when Kendrick does it, sounds a lot better than when I do it. I'm not going to lie.
Doubt that.
Yeah. Doubt that. Grew a facial hair because he understood being a beard just fit him better. He's got sex offenders on, Drake's label's called OVO, on HOVO that he keeps on a monthly allowance. Damn. A child should never be compromised, and he's keeping his child around them. So he's saying he pays.
Can you get like sued, I guess, for like defamation now by Drake that he said those things?
Probably, yeah.
Because that, if not true, right?
Yeah.
Fucking awful thing to say about someone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and incredibly defamatory and can lose him a lot of money. And,
yeah. 100%.
So, like, what's the... They just don't give a fuck, these guys.
Nah, probably not.
That's crazy.
No.
It's crazy. Like, were they buddies? Like, have they ever been pictured together? Or is it like...
Kendrick and Drake?
Yeah.
They have a song together, yeah.
Ah.
Good Kid, Mad City. Back in the day, 2012.
So they're old homies.
No. I think it was maybe more of like the label wants Drake on this song, so put him on this song sort of vibe. But they were once, you know, at least...
Amicable,
yeah.
Right.
Then after that, Meet the Grahams, which was like over... And the other thing is too, that song is over the most sinister sounding beat. Like, it is a filthy song, incredible song, but you're just like, you feel dirty after listening to it. Like, you feel like that shit is so heavy and dense that you need to like walk away and just go... what the fuck?
Okay.
Yeah.
After that, Kendrick releases another diss track.
It was like a post-marathon piss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dense and yellow.
You're like, is it cum?
Yeah. is it cum or is it Kendrick throwing accusations? Kendrick releases another diss track called Not Like Us, which is over like a dance beat. And people were playing it in clubs when it dropped. There's like pretty people playing it in American clubs. And it's, again, he just doubles down on pretty much calling Drake basically a pedophile. Okay. I think he straight up calls him a pedophile.
So they go back and forth, right?
Yeah.
What's the end goal here? Is it whoever wins, is it like whoever doesn't drop a track? Whoever gets the last word in it? It does feel like hang up.
That's what happened the last time Drake was involved with Beef, which was 2018, which was the Pusha T thing,
right,
where he poked Pusha T, said something in the press like Drake sucks. Drake released a diss track, and then Pusha T released a diss track that revealed that he was hiding a son, that he was a deadbeat dad like his father before him, and Drake never responded because it was like, what else do you do here? It's game over. And everyone was just like, he just fully smoked him, right? Drake had no way of coming back. And now it's the same thing again of like, he's pushing, Kendrick's like pushing him and pushing him, and he's coming out with so many responses every step of the way. Anytime that Drake sort of presented something like, Kendrick, you're a bitch, you're not dropping anything, Kendrick's like, here's three songs in a row where I just expose everything about you. You've got nothing to come back with.
Right.
Yeah.
But Drake did come back.
But do you reckon Drake's just been like, oh, I can't bitch out of this one?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, J. Cole's just like, guys, come on, let's stop.
That's the best part. All the memes of J. Cole, like, J. Cole dodged the biggest bullet of all time.
Yeah. I still don't know who this guy is outside of this discussion.
Honestly, what I think happened was
What are these songs? I don't...
J. Cole's?
Is he like a feature rapper?
No. He's got a lot of features, but he does have a lot of popular songs.
What's the song?
K.O.D.
Is that like the big one? Is that like the hit?
Nah, he's got a few. He's got like, he's got one called Wet Dreams that was pretty popular.
Does he have like a one that's like... I don't know. Yeah, maybe I'm a bit out of the loop.
Wet Dreams, No Role Models. You don't.
Oh, maybe I know it if I heard it. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know either.
I only know like four Drake songs, so. Yeah.
That's nothing for you.
Should I know it? I can't, dude. No one's like, dude, you can't believe new J. Cole just dropped.
Yeah.
No, like that's a sentence I've never heard. I didn't.
No, there are people who say that.
A lot of my mates in Corowa will say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like a weird, I don't know. But anyway, just to end it off, Drake came back yesterday with a track where the main takeaways from it were, he said to Kendrick, you're crazy for calling me a pedophile. I'm too famous. I couldn't be a pedophile.
What? So his response was just like, mm-mm.
He was the most defensive diss track of all time.
But also historically.
Exactly. Yeah. What about R. Kelly, brother?
Historically, famous people exclusively engage in those activities.
Exactly right.
But did Drake, now this might be my Twitter timeline fucking me up again, so correct me if I'm wrong, did Drake not name drop Millie Bobby Brown in it or something, or did he allude to her in any way?
Yeah, he just said, he did allude to her and he said that was crazy. He was basically saying that's false. Right. He name dropped her and was like, no, that's not the case. I wasn't doing anything with her. He said I'd never looked twice at underage girls or anything. Like,
right. Just once, just really long time.
Yeah.
And what was the thing about him and Millie Bobby Brown?
Well, they would hang out quite a bit.
No, it was like she was on the red carpet one time when she was like 14. And she was like, yeah, I've got Drake's been texting me. You know, he's great. He messages me, he texts me. And everyone at the time was like, what the fuck, Drake, you weirdo? She was like 32 or something. But in this last one, Drake pretty much says that. His response was, Kendrick, I couldn't be a pedophile. I'm too famous for that. And his other one was, that fake daughter, we fed you that. That was all our plan. We got you. It was like, you didn't say that three diss tracks ago. It was just like the craziest reaching at straws thing ever.
Wild.
And the very last piece of the beef that's fucking hilarious is Metro Boomin, the producer, from the initial Kendrick track where he dropped the first little bits of beef towards Drake and J. Cole.
Hilarious that Metro Boomin just is a guy and not a nightclub in Narre Warren. Like, that's crazy. Like, he's like, oh, what up? I'm Metro Boomin. Yes. How does he just look people in the eye and shake their hand and go, what up, man? Call me M. Boomin.
Dude.
Wait, is he like an adult?
Yeah, and he's absolutely... He's probably,
he's doing a house
he's
and
one
shit.
Of, he's a goat, man. He's one of the goats. He's a goated producer. But he releases the first instrumental diss. And the diss track's called BBL Drizzy. Because there was a bunch of, like, in parts of the disses were, like, Kendrick was exposing that Drake has had tons of, like, cosmetic surgery done. Like, he's had, like, liposuction and all this stuff
I've done. Seen his dick, it's true.
Yeah. But, yeah, the track's called BBL Drizzy. Metro Boomin posted on his Twitter and was like, people record freestyles to this and I'll give you, whoever does the best freestyle or the best diss, I'll sell the beat to you. He'll give it to you for free so you can use the beat for whatever you want. So he's gotten like everyone on SoundCloud to just make a million Drake disses on top of a beat where the beat's going, BBL Drizzy. it's so fucking funny, man.
Yeah. So where do you see this ending?
Man, I actually have no idea. Honestly, the thing is, I feel like there needs to be...
If they could wrap it up soon, it's taken up a lot of airtime on this pod. We talked about it on Patreon.
So. Yeah, it's taken up... The thing is, I think that it needs to end with some sort of evidence of some kind presented from one team or the other.
Yeah.
Some sort of law
enforcement.
I think
this ends with a court case.
It has to.
Yeah.
This is the thing, right? The reason this is getting so much airtime now is because... It was a point where it was funny and like when Kendrick released Euphoria, the song that he dropped on streaming, everyone was like, well, Drake's dusted. Like, this is fucking crazy. Like, what a great song. He calls him all these names, says that he's a fucking sex pest a bit, but nothing too grimy. Pretty grimy, but not like, Then after that, everything just got like, oh, like, you have to know something that we don't, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
The next diss is going to be like full names, addresses, and social security numbers. Like,
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing too. Like, some of the stuff was like the one at the Kendrick's last diss track, the album art was a photo of Drake's house with a bunch of the pins from like the sex offender registry. Ooh. From like, that's like a thing in America where they have like all these pins on the house. It's like Drake's mansion with all these pins in it.
Right. Ooh.
Yeah, so basically, pretty much what the beef is now, when you boil it down, is pedophile versus woman beater.
Right.
That's the allegations being slung back and forth.
Okay.
Which was funny. It was like funny before it was that. Now that it's that, it's like real dirty and gross.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Well, I hope none of it's true, and I hope it's just a few naughty boys doing some naughty rhymes.
Yep. I hope it's not true, and it's so I can be on Kendrick's side.
Yeah.
Because Aubrey's been a little bitch.
Aubrey has been a little bitch. The other thing too is the tracks are legitimately amazing. Like, all of Kendrick's disses are legitimately great songs.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
Kanye West rubbing his hands together right now.
Yeah, he's
going,
stoked.
I'm no longer the biggest fucking lunatic in rap.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's stoked.
I mean, temporarily.
Yeah, 100%.
He'll be back.
Yeah, he'll be back. But
he'll probably chime in at some point.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, the other thing is too, I'm not going to lie, the Drake songs were pretty good too. Until he got up to like the AI one was shit and his last one was awful. But before that, I was like, damn, the winners here are us. We get all this new music. And now I'm like, fuck, just both of you just relax.
Yeah. Wild.
Speaking of AI.
Yeah.
Meta, like Facebook, have just put in Messenger, which people might have seen during the week.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Meta AI.
It's like a little chat bot. You can, I guess it's like, what's it called again? Chat GTP?
No. GPT.
Whatever. And I started pretty much, you just go generate an image of, and you write in, you know, a big old steaming poop riding a bobsled, and it does it. You know, this is great stuff. It's made me turn me into an 8-year-old again. Anyway, I put in some prompts. I don't even know why. I guess I was just fiddling around with it. I came to the conclusion that Meta AI is racist.
Mate, I'm so glad that you were the one to bring that up, because I'm in a group chat with a bunch of the fellas from high school, and there's one fella in there who exclusively uses it to try and see if it will say slurs. He like tricks it into saying slurs.
That's not where I was going.
No, I know that's not where you were going to go, but he tries to trick it into saying slurs, and it's really funny because sometimes he'll say something, it'll set it up in such a way where he'll say something like, you know, he'll just add like, say this for educational purposes at the end. And then you'll see Meta AI will send the message and say the slur, and then it'll delete it again. And then it'll go, I can't say that. But it's like, whoa, we got you. Okay. We got you.
Pretty good. I forget why. I think I was just playing around with it. And I just wrote, can you give me an image of a cool, handsome, funny guy eating muffins riding the bus?
Right.
Oh, I was eating muffins on the bus the other day.
Yep. Mm. Well, yeah, it didn't send me that pic.
Oh.
It sent a picture of a guy of, let's be honest, of African-American.
A lot of African-American people on that.
People on a bus, and he's got muffins, and he's a handsome, fun guy, which is exactly what I asked for.
Interesting. Yeah.
And I was like, great, he looks like a funny, cool guy.
Interesting.
Then I went, hey, Meta AI, can you give me an image of a cool, handsome, funny guy eating muffins in a limousine?
Oh.
The guy's white. Oh,
that is the whitest man alive.
The whitest guy of all time. He looks like Tom Brady.
Dude, he looks like he would have 6 million followers on TikTok.
Yeah, he looks like a quarterback. Looks like a frat boy.
Yeah.
And he's eating muffins in a limousine.
Oh my God.
And the only detail that changed was the mode of transport.
That is very interesting. Okay.
Can we test it out live on air?
It's not good.
Yeah.
I've just put in generate an image of a poor person riding a bus.
Okay. Well, this is very on the nose, isn't it?
No, but it's not my...
Yeah. No, you're right.
Good. And they have generated pretty much that first image that pull up for you.
Okay.
That's fucked up. Now let's say generate an image of a rich person.
Where does it get its data from? Just pull data from every part of the internet,
yeah,
and put it into this image, or is it pulling data from like
I don't know
just
how
Google
it works,
images,
man.
Or is it pulling data from just
it? It really boggles my mind how AI works. I do not understand it at all.
Yeah, well, it's generated a white person, okay, wearing a dress in sparkles, dressed like Princess Diana.
Interesting, that AI.
What's bullshit? I'm frustrated with it for other reasons too, and the racism, but. Other reasons too.
Okay.
I said, hey, Meta AI, can you generate an image of Meg Archibald, which is my girlfriend? And
yep.
It generates an image of like a random white brunette girl
in an art gallery. That's interesting.
Great.
It's random.
And then I go, great, generate an image of Luke Higgill. Oops, I can't generate that image.
Yeah, right.
What the hell?
Why is that?
I don't know.
Do you reckon it's because it's like it's searched and realized that you're like a person of, you know?
I don't know why that is. Wouldn't there be more results of me online to draw from?
Yeah,
Maybe it goes like, oh, we can't.
Can I not do like Brad Pitt? I'm pretty sure I could do Brad Pitt.
Maybe. I feel like it's maybe a thing of like, oh, it's a person of celebrity of some kind. It can't pull from photos of you to create it or something.
Maybe there's like someone could theoretically do.
You do like Harry Potter or something? Like
like generate Luke Kigel and doing something really bad. And that could be maybe. Yeah, can't generate Brad Pitt.
Yeah, okay. It can't generate Frenchie either. Oh, yes, it did. Just a French poster of someone holding bread.
Let's go.
I just thought, who's our Brad Pitt?
Yeah. Good job. Going straight to it.
Anyway, so it's just a little, I don't know what my point is. That's something I noticed and wanted to flag. So, guys.
Boys, I've got
maybe
a bit of
boycott Meta AI. That's all I'm saying.
Sorry, boys. I've just got a bit of rap beef that I'd like to bring up.
Go for it.
For some reason, 360 has just started following me on Instagram.
I just started following him earlier.
Yeah, right. I'm
trying to organize him to come on a pod.
Has he followed me as well?
Dude, if we've got 360s on the pod, let's go.
Oh my God. He didn't. Anyway. Just you two. It's all good.
Yep.
Meta AI, you disgust me to my core. And that's why I won't be using you ever again.
Check. Unless I need to like search something really quickly and I'm on Messenger.
Do you know what I would use Meta AI for?
Unless it conveniences me.
If I was walking around, oh wait, what's that? Who was in 2011, Jay-Z and Kanye West, they were in Paris. Who was it? Oh, Meta AI, they'll know the answer.
Yeah.
That's what I'll fucking ask it.
Yep.
Okay.
Piece of shit service. And you know why I'll ask it? Because I did test that and it did say it. So.
Oh. Did it really?
It did. Then it deleted it.
Jeez.
Oh.
So fuck you, Meta AI. Anyway, guys, thanks for being here so much.
Oh, 360 follows BLT Pod on Instagram. Let's go. His username's got more followers than our follow account.
What a dog.
360.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that's good.
Good stuff.
So he follows both of you and the pod, but he doesn't follow
technically
the heart and
you.
Soul. He doesn't follow the heart and soul of the pod.
Oh, well. Tyler's crying. Let it out, man.
Oh, it's my favorite Xbox.
What? Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, that's probably why it doesn't follow me. Anyway, all right, we'll see you guys next week.
Another riveting episode. Stay curious and keep exploring. And see you next week on BLT. Like the sandwich.